have Dave and Eileen Barkman with us. They have been missionaries in Japan for 39 years, I believe. And as Dave told me during Sunday school, he says our church has supported them from the very beginning. And so today what we get to do is look back on 4 decades of ministry and to see how God has been faithful and what he has done and what he is continuing to do. So as Dave comes, let me pray for him and then we're here. Lord, thank you for your word and for the power that it has. Lord, that your word, when spoken, will not come back void. And so we thank you for the years of ministry in which Dave and Eileen have shared your word. And Holy Spirit, how you have worked in and through their faithfulness in the words they have said, Lord, to bring Japanese to be believers in you, that they have worked diligently, that they have done the work you have called them to do. Lord, and we plant seeds. We cannot save, but Lord, through your Spirit, Lord, you bring people into your kingdom. And so we thank you for that. And we pray for Dave and Eileen now as they come and share. Give them strength and wisdom and clarity to communicate to us what God has been doing. And we pray that you would open our hearts, that we would listen well, and Lord, that you would speak through them to us and challenge us for what it means to be disciples of Christ. We give you thanks. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Well, it is long overdue that we come and report to you after many years of supporting us, praying for us, encouraging us, and we count it a privilege to be here today to recount God's blessings, to talk about what he's done, and to challenge us to continue participating in his work, however, wherever that might be. I chose as my Bible text this morning a very, very famous passage that you all know. I would like for us to read it together. The one that it says the verse of the week. Could we read that together? Yeah, it's in your bulletins. Okay. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is a passage that I'm sure you have heard many sermons, Bible studies, Sunday school lessons, and your own personal study. What does this mean? Making disciples sometimes becomes this cliche that is unexamined. We're not sure exactly what's all involved in that. Today, I would like to ask the question, what does it mean to make disciples? And then consequently, am I a disciple? And how do I make disciples? To understand disciple making, as Jesus says it here, requires us to understand the big picture of what God's doing. There is only one story right here, and that story is God's creation, God's design to glorify himself and his mercy through the entire story of the fall of man, calling Abraham, calling the children of Israel, through David and all the prophets and their promises, Christ coming, the apostles being sent out, the responsiveness of nations, all the way down to October 12, 2025, Burns, Kansas. We are part of the story. We are not sitting outside looking distant to something that's happened long, long ago. We are part of the story. God has called us as individuals and as a church in our God-given time, place, and roles to be Christ's ambassadors with the good news of reconciliation to God and the life in Christ Jesus, totally given by grace. All of us are familiar with various evangelistic activities. Most of us have watched Billy Graham crusade pieces on the TV. I've even been to the Billy Graham crusade in Tokyo. There have been many outreaches using tracts, Abundant Life, just all kinds of radio, tracting, various events. The problem is that after all the smoke goes, after all the dust settles, what has really changed? There was a man named James Engle in 1970s, a missiologist who said, something's wrong here. We've got all this evangelistic activity, but why is the church staying the same, unchanged? Why are people really growing in the Lord? And of course, this is a generality. He did a study, and he found out that often when we say disciple, we're not really defining what that means. And so he designed a scale, and it's called the Engels scale. Sometimes Engels evangelism disciple-making scale. Could we have the next slide, please? And he started with this. He said, there are many, many people in the world who have no awareness of God. And so when you come to them and say, Jesus loves you. He's got a plan for your life. He wants to save you. Believe in him. What meaning does that have to a person who has no awareness? So, he said, the next step is, secondly, or minus eight, an awareness of a supreme being, but no knowledge of the gospel. Do you see how this is starting to get move from a minus nine to a minus eight? Minus seven, an initial awareness of the gospel. There is a Savior. His name is Jesus. And this gift of life is totally by grace. Minus six, awareness of the fundamentals of the gospel. It's not by works. It's by grace through faith. Minus five, a grasp of the implications of the gospel. If this is true, what might that mean for my life? What are the risks? What are the opportunities? What will this mean for me? Minus four, a positive attitude toward the gospel. Yeah, this sounds pretty good. Minus three, personal problem recognition, a sense of need. All of us see something good, but until there is that personal sense of need, it does not affect us. It's not something that we're going to desire or want to say, yes, I've got to have it. And then minus two, a decision to act. Okay, I don't know what all the risks are, but I'm going to act on this by faith. And minus one, a repentance and faith in Christ. Now this I'm describing here is still on the human level of repentance and faith. It's something that God works in us. But we go on to zero then is regeneration, a new creation. This is God's work in our hearts, okay? Now, the problem is that often we say, hallelujah, somebody's come to know the Lord as their Savior. Next. Where's the disciple-making process? Where's the growth? Where's the maturity? Where's the fruitfulness? Where's the life-transforming grace to be seen? That's why James Engle went on and said, we've got to not only go from a -9 of no awareness, we have to now build. So, starting with the new creation, +1 is that post-decision evaluation. What did I just do? What has just happened to me? And thankfully, it's the Holy Spirit that works, does a witness in our hearts that says, yes, you are God's child by faith in Christ Jesus. Yes, you have a relationship now. You have been reconciled. And that post-evaluation is something that by the life of the Spirit, he works within us. +2 becomes an incorporation into the local body, baptism. That's what it says here when it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is not merely some water ceremony. This is a confession. Christ is my Savior, and now I am, through faith in him, joining his local family. +3, growth in understanding and behavior. There becomes a life transformation, starting with the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through the fellowship, and through the various ways in which God intertwines all these things together, that a person starts saying, oh, these are the promises that we sang about in church. Yes, I'm going to stand on them. Yes, in Christ alone, that's my security. That kind of understanding is not instantaneous. It's not something that one Sunday school class and, oh, you've got it. No, it's a growth, daily growth of in a relationship with the Lord. +4, communion with God as a joyful worshiper. I have learned recently that that is my identity. My number one identity is to be a child of God who's a worshiper. Worshiper means a responder to God, not merely gathering information. Rather, through his word, through the encouragement of other people, responding to God and saying, yes, Lord, thank you. I praise you. I confess with tears. I respond to you. Responding is what God is looking for. Many of you parents have had the experience of talking to your children and seeing no response. Kids, can you relate to that? I know, that's natural, right? God, our loving Heavenly Father, wants us to respond to his love with our love, to his revelation of his awesome goodness with our own reverence and worship. And this is not something that we just do here on Sunday mornings. This is a lifestyle. It's a heart mentality. It's an attitude of, yes, Lord, I want to respond to you. Then we move up to +5, stewardship. Now, when we say stewardship, many people only think of the offering. That is one aspect. But stewardship means I am not the owner of this body, of my house, of my car, of anything. This has all been given to me to be a steward, a servant. How can I best serve God using these things he's given me? This isn't just things. These are positions, responsibilities, relationships that God has put us in. Am I a steward? How am I being a servant of God in all these things that God's given? Let's go on to +6. Reproduction, fruit bearing. I used to think that this meant that this was only leading somebody to faith in Christ Jesus. And if I didn't do that, I wasn't being a fruitful Christian. That is one important aspect of it. True. But fruit bearing, according to Galatians 5, is when the Holy Spirit is so in control of our hearts and minds that there's a transformation, moving from criticalness to gratitude, from dissatisfaction to contentment, from me first to how can I serve you? Those attitude changes are the work of God, but we have to say yes to Him. That is a fruitfulness, a fruit bearing that God wants to do in us. But He doesn't force us. God doesn't come around, twist our arm behind our back and say, come on, let's get with it. He's always graciously, mercifully inviting us. Come, join me in my work. Yes, you'll have to die to self. Yes, you have to recognize you've been crucified with Christ. Your life is not your own. But I invite you to enjoy life abundantly. That's God's invitation. Reproduction, of course, means not only evangelism leading somebody to Christ Jesus. It includes that. But what about the disciple-making process of our families, of our people that we know in our community? Pointing them to Jesus, showing the glory of Jesus often through the difficult times that we're experiencing. How about plus seven? Exercising the exercise of gifts. All of you, all of us have spiritual gifts. At least one, most likely multiple gifts. How is God using them? Is there any room for growth in them? I believe there is. So, as God gives new opportunities, God gives new relationships, as we grow in, oh, this is the gift God's given me, and this is how God wants me to apply that in this situation, He enables us to bear fruit to the glory of His name. And then a plus eight. This results in a witness in word and action. Often, in Japan too, we've seen Christian groups that were all about the word. Bullhorn preaching on the street corners. Passing out DVDs, stuffing them in the mailboxes. And everybody say, I don't want this religious material. And they throw it away. There are others that say it's all about our presence witness. You know, we will go into a community, we will do good works, and somehow they will connect these good things with Christ. And the link is not clearly made. We are thankful that we worked with a pastor, Pastor Otomo, who had a very clear understanding. It is both and. And he described it this way. It's like two wheels on a cart. There's got to be the clear declaration of the gospel of Christ Jesus from the very beginning. It's not a message you sneak in later on. But there's also got to be the practical, daily, he called it social gospel. Now, I know that that term rings bells for some of you. But social gospel means the gospel of Jesus Christ lived out in real life, real situations, sometimes hard situations. It's a witness that's saying, yes, I could be bitter, but I'm not, because Jesus is my Savior, because He is my shepherd. And so, you know, all the things that we did in the temporary housing for people who'd lost their everything in the disaster, 2011 tsunami disaster. Just being a good neighbor and saying, and when they say, how come you're doing this? You're a foreigner, you're here, why do you do this? Then being able to explain, because Jesus has met me in such a life-changing way that I want to give His love to you as well. I want you to know that peace, that joy, that security that comes that only Jesus Christ can give. When those two go together, the clear presentation of the gospel and the deeds that are generated or motivated by that love for Jesus. That is an effective witness in a community. Witness in word and action. And then finally, number plus nine, continuing growth and maturity. How many of you have already arrived? Anybody here? Oh, good. Glad that we got one. Some, a few people. Well, the reality is that we are still all in process. Because the goal is what? Christ-likeness, not by self-effort, but by his work, through his word, and through the mutual encouragement we receive in the body. So, next slide. Making disciples, here's my definition, engaging all people with the gospel along the entire spectrum from the minus 9 to the plus 9, including engaging people who are, minus 9, and assisting each person to become obedient, faithful followers of Christ, together growing in faith, maturing, and experiencing fruitful life and transformation. That's God's plan for us. Not merely being comfortable going through this religious routines that often are that we define the Christian life. This is the scope of the Great Commission. And it's all to the glory of Christ. We cannot sit and say, wow, that was quite a journey. Dave, you did a good job. 39 years in Japan, good job. No, it's all by God's grace. And I have to tell you, it's no secret, God is still working in me. God is still transforming me. And I, according to the scriptures, he's transforming you too. We are all still in process because he still has growth. He still has work. He still has areas of service that you and I feel totally inadequate for. But God says, I'll be with you. I'm working through you because it's not about you and what you can do. It's about me working through you. Well, keeping in mind this spectrum from the minus 9, no awareness, all the way to the 0, trusting Christ as Savior, but also ascending all the way to the plus 10 of continuing growth maturity, I would like for Eileen to come and tell about Ryoko. As you listen, think about Ryoko's starting point and her journey of faith.
Okay, can you hear me? Okay, so this story actually started probably about the time we went to Japan. Ryoko was a friend of our pastor's wife, and their kids were in school together, little kindergarten, first, second, third graders, and they were on the same soccer team. And so our pastor's wife became friends with Ryoko and some other ladies and started inviting them to special events at the church, like Christmas parties. We always had a Christmas potluck. And we were in Tokyo. This is all happening up north in the Tohoku area. And Ryoko starts going to church just every once in a while with the pastor's wife. Well, in 2011, there was the great triple disaster up in the northeastern part of Japan. And then we moved up there after that to help work in the disaster area and started going to this church. And the Christmas of 2012, I believe, we had a Christmas party. It was our first one. And Ryoko was there with her friend, the pastor's wife, and the pastor's wife introduced us. And Ryoko said, I love English. Would you teach me English? I said, sure. I said, and I'd love to teach English. Can I share a little bit about the Bible each time, too? Well, she didn't care about that, but as long as it was in English, it was fine. So she and one of her friends started coming to our house for English, and that became the Cherry Ladies Group, which some of you have read about and heard about for, 12 years or whatever. So Ryoko started coming. We had English. She loved English. She endured the Bible time after each little English class. But gradually, the interest in the Bible began to grow slowly. And at one point, Dave offered to start a Bible reading class in Japanese that these ladies could come to. And they said, sure, let's do it. And so they started coming for Bible in Japanese without the English. And they started reading. We went through the book of Mark. We went through the book of Ruth. We went through the book of John. I don't remember what all. We went through quite a few books. We just read through several times, talk about it, and discuss it. And Yoko's interest was growing. Many times we saw a real skepticalness in her and a cynicalness. But other times we saw an interest growing. And we also would introduce these ladies to Christian groups that came to volunteer in the area. And we would introduce these cherry ladies to Christians, and they would talk together. And one day, Dioko invited me to her house, and we were talking about a lot of things. And she said, you know, there's something different about all those people you invite to your that come to your house and help. And I said, oh, really? What is it that you think is different about them? And she said, well, they all have pure eyes. I said, really? If you're seeing pure eyes in them, that's not us. That's not us that you're seeing purity in. That's Jesus in us that you're seeing. And she just was starting to question things and think about things. And God gave her that insight that there was a purity she was seeing in Christians. And then during COVID, everything was shutting down there too. And Yoko had time, and she started doing some reading and really thinking and searching. And then one day she came over and she said, I just really am interested in Jesus, and I'm thinking I'd like to follow Jesus. And so we went through the plan of salvation with her very clearly, and she prayed to receive Christ. And I think we went through it again the next week with her because things seemed fuzzy, but things were just very slow, and she went and talked with the pastor, and again, it was a little unclear, it was fuzzy, but he went with through the plan of salvation with her again, and she decided to follow Christ in baptism. And she was baptized. We didn't see a whole lot of fruit yet in her, but that was still to come. She made that step of baptism, and then she began to grow. And we saw her start becoming interested in the other cherry ladies. She was so burdened for them. She still is. And she would say, you know, I think I'm like a penguin that's standing on the tip of the iceberg, and there's a bunch of penguins standing there, and finally one jumps, and then they all jump. She said, I think I'm like that first penguin that's jumping, and maybe all the other ladies will come. Well, they still haven't, but she's still the first penguin, and she's still praying and sharing Christ with these ladies. We saw her life being changed as she started becoming very interested in her family, especially her husband. She started asking him if they could pray before meals. Oh, sure. So he would pray with her. And then she started reading a Bible verse before each meal. And her husband's listening. He has mellowed. He has, when we left Japan, he was much more mellow than we saw him. He was very resistant before that. We see her reaching out to her mother and her siblings. And recently, almost 2 years ago now, there was another tsunami, an earthquake in another part of Japan. And Dioko has become a member of some of the church teams that go and help people in this new tsunami area. And we got a video of her last Christmas, and she said, I'm so excited. I get to share the Christmas story with these ladies in this area of Japan that had this earthquake and tsunami. And that is the way we see Dioko just blossoming and growing and full of joy and excitement in the Lord. We see life transformation in her as the gospel works out in her. So we have been able to see Dioko. Actually, we didn't see those minus 10, minus 9 moments. That was the pastor's wife that walked with her through those times. But we have been able to see her grow and become a fruit bearing Christian.
Thank you, Eileen.
Let me remind you that this kind of spiritual journey God takes people through, you included, is not instantaneous. Often he uses lots of time. For Dioko, we're talking, this story is over 40 years of distance, of length of time. And it wasn't just about us and what we did, because she, the pastor's wife, kept encouraging her to come to church. When she did, there were other ladies that gathered around her and said, "Oh, it's so good to see you again." The Cherry Ladies English Conversation Circle that Eileen started, we had some Christians that would come sometimes and share. These volunteers that in which she saw pure eyes. She did not know what that meant, but that was, God was using that. Then, after she became a baptized believer in the church, she joined a small group where they were doing Bible memorization and just talking about, what does this look like in our daily lives as housewives? And so she got a lot of encouragement and growth through that. God uses the body for all of us to grow together. And that's what we saw in Ryoko. Now, joining this disaster response team to go to a different place, she has the joy of sharing not only the Christmas story, but also just what's it like to be a disaster victim herself and losing things and then ministering to people there. So God's working in her heart through his word, through the Holy Spirit empowering her then. This whole process, this journey, is not merely one person's journey. It's not just the missionary's work. It's the church's work. It's the work of God through the Holy Spirit working through faith in his word. So what I'm presenting to you is not some easy, what? Equation. If you just do this plus this, then it equals that. It's God's gracious work. One day, I was out in the yard. I'm not sure what I was doing, pulling something or something, just doing some maintenance. And this lady came by with two pug dogs on a leash, on two leashes. And she stopped and she said, "Are you Christians?" I said, "Yes, why?" "Well, I know some Jehovah's Witnesses," and blah, 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 blah. I said, "Okay, so what are you asking?" "Well, are you the same as them?" "Well, that's a loaded question, isn't it?" And so I tried to explain, not putting down any group, but saying, this is what the Bible teaches. And as Jesus followers, we have experienced this kind of peace and joy in following Jesus. And I invited her to come to church. Well, she did come to church, but felt very uncomfortable. Then, another time, I said, "You know, I've got this book. In English, it's called the Jesus Storybook Bible." Isn't it? I get the Japanese and the English titles mixed up. But it's a translation, but it presents Jesus as the main hero of the entire Bible story, all the way from creation to the new creation. And so I said, and several churches had given us gifts to buy these books to give as gifts to people. So I got one and I said, "Mrs. Sugawara, I would like to give this to you. Please read it. Ask me any questions. I would encourage you, because this is really what the answer to life is all about." Well, she took it, and once in a while I'd meet her, and then, but I could tell she was not really interested. One day she came back, she brought the book back, and she says, "I'm moving away, I brought the book back." I looked at it and could tell she had not been reading it. I felt sad. But what could I do? I prayed for her, took the book back. How many years was it later? 3 or 4 years later? All of a sudden I got an invitation to preach at another church because the pastor was going through some cancer treatments and he needed some help with preaching, so I went there. And I went to the church, and this lady came up to me and says, "Barkman Sensei, do you remember me?" Well, it was totally out of context. I had no idea. I thought, oh, who is this lady? "I'm Mrs. Sugawara with the 2 pug dogs." I said, "Really?" Believe me, she had transformed. She was neat. Her hair was done up. She had come to church, and she looked very different. And I said, "Well, tell me, how is it that you're here?" And she said, "Well, we moved away from this community to another community, and my 2 pug dogs died." Now, in Japan, anything living has spirits. That's the belief, okay? It's called animism. And so, what do you do when dogs die? You have to have a funeral for them. You have to appease the spirits. Well, she didn't know what to do about that, so she'd gone to the local pastor and said, "Pastor, could you have funerals for my dogs?" I never found out what his answer was. But as a result of her going to the pastor to ask for funerals and the pastor talking, she then started studying the Bible and became a believer and was baptized. And we met her with her just before we came back to the United States. Just the joy, the peace, the confidence that she now has as a Jesus follower. Now again, where was she when we met her? Oh, she'd had some experience with some, quote, Christians in the past, but it took a long time that she was in that -8, -7 category until she had a felt need. That's what took her to the pastor, and the pastor was able to lead her on to confess Christ as her Savior, baptism, growing, and being part of the local body of believers. So, is it all about the missionary? Absolutely not. God has given us a particular role at a particular place, at a particular time, with certain different people, but he includes this pastor that had cancer. All these things that God brings together because he lovingly has a plan for each person if they will respond to him. Eileen started an M&M discipleship group, Meditate and Memorize and Meditate. Now, all these were ladies in the church, 3 or 4 of them, right? And they were all believers. They'd been believers for, some of them, for 10 or more years. But the problem was they were not growing. Yes, they were attending church, but the stories we heard about their relationships at work were not good. What's the problem? They had a professing life in Jesus Christ that was not translated into their work relationships and attitudes. But as Eileen and these ladies started opening up the Word of God, memorizing it, meditating upon it, and then talking about what does this look like in daily living, God started transforming their hearts. And so many of these that were at the +1 or +2 level started growing. And now, when we left, of course, they're involved in the church, and we're seeing attitude changes and stories from their families that, wow, things have really changed. That is so satisfying to hear, not because of what we've done, but because God is working in their hearts through his word. So I present this spectrum, call it the James Engle scale or the whatever you want, but moving God is moving people from the very minus nine all the way up to the minus to the plus nine, so to speak. The challenge is for us to be followers of Jesus and to lead others to be followers of Jesus. Now, it's true. The Bible talks about believe in Jesus Christ, right? How many of you believe that? Absolutely. But often, we do not understand exactly what that means. It means living out by faith those promises that we say, yes, that's true, in our attitudes and daily relationships, leading others to become Christ followers. So, I ask you to consider your own spiritual journey. In this spectrum of minus 9 to plus 10, 9, where are you? I'm sure that most of us are at least at the zero. We've experienced Christ's salvation. But where are we, where are you on this? And granted, this is not a you graduate from one level to another. This is a growth process that happens on multiple levels. So I ask yourself the question, where am I on this spectrum? What is the next step I need to take? What do I need to take the next step? And it could be having a consistent daily time with Jesus in the Word. It could involve going to somebody and saying, I'm sorry, this conflict is a barrier in my spiritual growth and my growing in love for you. There's all kinds of things, but what's the next step God may be wanting you to take to grow? Another question is, who can help me? None of us are spiritual lone rangers. We need each other. God has put us in a body. God has put us into the family to mutually encourage each other. Often, I'm referred to as, oh, the veteran missionary. Guess what, guys? I still have much to learn, much to grow in. Growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Learning to say yes to Jesus. Does anybody else have a problem with procrastination? Putting something off, I'll do it later. When what I need to be saying is, Lord, I want to be saying yes to you right now, no matter what. This involves attitude choices from criticalness to gratitude, from not caring to saying, this is important, and my attitude is more important than this particular thing that I want to get done, in whatever way I think it can be manipulated. Loving people and dealing with them graciously. Now, when I say that, that does not mean that they change first and give me a positive response. I am the initiator of that, loving and giving gracious responses. Taking small steps of obedience each day, all day, making saying yes to Jesus my default of how I respond to God. We never outgrow saying yes to Jesus. In fact, that's what growth is, expanding and deepening how soon and how much we say yes to him. Getting back to Matthew 28, the Great Commission, make disciples, it's all about saying yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus in our own hearts and helping other people say yes to Jesus. So, when we say a ministry transition back to Kansas, what we're looking at is how can we engage our grandchildren, who are right now in Newton, ages 4 to, 15? How can we engage them in such a way to encourage them to say yes to Jesus? What about my friends and neighbors? We've gotten to know the people on both sides of us. Nice people, but don't know Jesus. They're trying to be good without Jesus. They're trying to do life as measured by this world. How do I help them learn to say yes to Jesus? What about my brothers and sisters in the faith? As we gather together, and right now, churches all over America are gathering as God's family. Are we helping each other say yes to Jesus? Are we mutually encouraging each other, serving one another? That's what's rooted in the Great Commission. Teaching them to observe all things, whatever I have commanded you. And this is the greatest command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. I don't want to dumb down the gospel to some just simple formula or equation. But it's not as complicated as we sometimes make it. Doing all these things. Because what God does is calls us first to himself. Then he calls us to the work. And that work is more than just a bunch of activities. It's saying yes to him as he leads. There's one of my favorite verses in Ephesians talks about how God has already set in place all the good works he has for us to do. Do you know that? This afternoon, this week, God has already arranged all kinds of good works, works of words of encouragement, works of service, all kinds of things. He's got all lined up, and he's saying, I'm your good shepherd, and I'm going to lead you. Oh, yes, there's going to be some detours for you to be able to meet these good works, but I've got them all planned for you. I've got them prepared for you. Just follow me. Just keep saying yes to me. So what's the Great Commission? The Great Commission is being a follower of Jesus Christ, saying yes to him, and helping other people continue to say yes to him and be followers of Jesus. Cultivating by our presence with the goal of people trusting Jesus Christ, being attracted to him. And so my question, another question is, the people that you know that you will meet this week, will they consider Jesus beautiful because of you? That's a convicting question. It's going along planting the gospel seeds by clear presentation so that each person can understand the call of Jesus upon them. Follow me. Believe me. I will be your Savior. And it's harvesting by prayer and persuasion so that people can trust Christ. Now, this is not making much sense, is it? Because I have a document I want to pass out. Howard, can you pass this out? And just give a bunch to, just pass it out. James Engle's scale tends to be a little bit of scholastic. It tends to be a little bit of intellectual. We attended a training seminar by international students. In fact, that's where we met Nick and Nicole, people that you support. And they presented this micro decisions of faith. It's the same thing as the Engels scale, but listed differently, okay? And when I read that, I said, yes, this describes what James Engle is writing about, but in a much more relational, personal way. So, micro decisions of faith refers to someone coming to Christ, and instead of making them take this giant step over the Grand Canyon from no knowledge of God to confessing Christ, often there is a journey that's necessary. And so in the micro decisions of faith, this talks about relationships. It's talking about daily working with people to lead them to Christ and to follow Christ. So at the very bottom here in the middle, you see cultivating. Cultivating by our presence, by your presence, a relationship. What's the goal? Make Jesus attractive through a trust relationship. How can they trust Jesus if they don't trust you? And so then comes the planting of the seed, a planting by presentation of the gospel. What's the goal? Understanding Jesus is the answer to my problems, to my life. Harvesting. Now, often when we think of evangelism, we jump right into harvesting. Wait a minute, guys. You're all farmers. You know you just can't drive the combine out into the field when you have not done any cultivating or planting. What's the goal? How do we harvest? By prayer and spirit-led persuasion so that they will trust in Christ. Then, at the top, multiplying, participating in the body of Christ, and growth for health, maturity, and fruit bearing. If we could see the big picture of what God is doing and wants to do in our lives and through our lives, I think it would transform our understanding of the Great Commission. Making disciples means saying yes to Jesus personally and leading other people to say yes to Jesus. Let's pray. Oh Lord in heaven, what grace we have received that you would call us from darkness into light, from being orphans to being your children, from being your enemies to being your ambassadors. And Lord, we have lots yet to learn about this, but we are. Your Holy Spirit is leading us. You've given us the faithful promises of your word. You have protected and blessed local congregations to be your family, a witness to the community. Continue this work on every level, Lord, and lead us to be saying yes to you. Lead us, whether it's here in Barnes, Kansas, or whether it's in the cultures across the oceans where we are supporting missionaries. Every place in there and in between, be working, Lord, to accomplish your purposes. Lead each person together to be saying yes to you. And so, Lord, I ask your blessing upon the Burns Countryside Church family. Bless their witness here. Be leading them individually and as a church to be saying yes to you. Lord, we cannot bear fruit. That's your work. But it's a wonderful promise that you give us. And it's a trustworthy promise that you are doing that as we say yes to you. So our prayer, Lord, is may our attitude be such that we are eager followers of Jesus, leading others to become eager followers of Jesus. We pray this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.